this morning, what we are going to do is continue our teaching series on Vision Sunday. We are excited about this being Vision Sunday. We have, in this, continuing this teaching series is Won't You Be My Neighbor? And that's the whole idea of what Mr. Rogers did, right? He showed up in our living rooms for 33 years, teaching us and modeling to us what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. Well, I want you to listen to this quote that he has. He says, "All of us, at some point or other, need help. Whether you're giving or receiving help, each one of us has something valuable to bring to this world. That's one of the things that connects us as neighbors in our own way. Each one of us is a giver and a receiver." Think about that for a moment. That Mr. Rogers saw that each person has value and that each person can actually help someone else. Now, I'm going to confess my sin to you. If you're like me, you found yourself, you would see somebody who is in need. You would see somebody that's in help. You saw the car in distress. You saw that person in that aisle at that store. And you're like, I don't have time for this, right? Am I the only one? You just don't have time. And you just keep on going. And you don't make eye contact. Because if you make eye contact, then all of a sudden you're going to be drawn in, right? So on Friday night, I was with some people. And my brother and sister-in-law were there. And Samita is talking about one of these very incidents that just happened to her. She's like, man, I'm in the Stop and Shop. And there's this guy in one of those little scooter things. And he needs some help. And he just like comes up and he asks me. He's like, can you tell me about... And he holds up a can of cherry filling for like a cherry pie. How do I make this? And so, Sammy says, one, she's like, do I make eye contact or do I not? No, she does. She made the eye contact. So she's sharing this with me, right? Because she's like, you know how it is. You're in a hurry. You're trying to go. You don't make eye contact. So they don't. Well, she made eye contact. They engaged. She helped. And not only did she do that, you know what she does? She pulls out her phone. Oh, well, let me tell you. Let's find a recipe. And she opens up her phone and says, let's Google. And there she is right in the aisle, right? Right? Googling recipes for how to do, cherry filling pie or whatever. But you've been there. And so have I. And it's usually because we live life without margin, with time. We're always in a hurry. We see the car in distress. We see that person in the aisle that could just use that extra help. They can't reach it. My wife runs into this all the time. That's why she begs me to go to the grocery store. And I'm like, no, I hate the grocery store. But she's like, she's 4'8¼", and she just can't reach it. And the new, she feels like that they all put everything up so high and she can't reach it, right? So she's forever having to try and find somebody to help her to be able to reach something. So people just walk by her. Employees walk by her. And they're like, help, help, SOS over here, right? But we all have been there. But what we feel or what we think, how many times have we walked by and thought, that's not my problem? But it is. It's not someone else's problem. It's mine. And this is what we're going to see. This is exactly what Jesus says in Luke chapter 9. Take your Bibles, go to Luke chapter 9. This is where we're going to be. Luke chapter 9. As we see that Jesus says, no, it's not someone else's problem. It is your problem. This is a very familiar passage. If you've been around church, you're going to be like, oh, brother, not this story again, right? You've heard this story 1,000 times. What can you learn new from this story? Even if you don't usually come to church, you are familiar. You've at least heard this story. This is the feeding of the 5,000 or the multitude, right? There are 5,000 men plus women and children. And it's the bread and the fish and how Jesus prays this prayer. And all of a sudden, there's all this food for everyone. In fact, some of you say, that's why I just have a hard time believing the Bible. But do you realize that this account shows up in every one of the gospel accounts who were written by eyewitnesses, documented by eyewitnesses? Every one of them thought this was a significant event that would show up, that they all four of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all record this instance. But today, what I'm asking you to do is to listen to it through the lens of the disciple. For the Christ follower, you are a disciple. And I want you to hear this story through the lens of the disciple. What is Jesus trying to teach the disciple? So here we go. Verse number 10. When the apostles returned, they told Jesus everything that they had done. Now, remember last week that Justin did a great job on sharing that story about how they were on a circuit, how they were going out and spreading the kingdom of God, how they were to meet people right where they are and then share the love of Jesus with them, that Jesus really is the Messiah. So that's what they've come back from weeks and weeks of that, right? They're tired. So they want to slip away. That's what happens. Then Jesus slipped quietly away with them, and he went toward the town of Bethsaida. So they're tired. They've been out for weeks and weeks traveling around doing this circuit. They just want to get away. They don't want to make eye contact with anybody, right? They want their rest. So as they go, but the crowds found out where he was going. They found out where Jesus was going. They made eye contact, right? And the disciples are like, Jesus, stop looking at them. Don't tell them where we're going, right? Just let's go. Let's get in the boat. Why? Because they knew that he would do this. He would welcome them. Oh, come on. And he does. He welcomes them. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. And he healed those who were sick. Even in their tiredness, even when they needed rest, Jesus still is welcoming people. Now this goes on all day, and the disciples are like, we are just tired, we are hungry, we don't have anything else to give, right? And so it's late in the afternoon, in verse 12, late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to Jesus, right? They're like, they pull him off to the side, and they're like, Jesus, come on, we're tired. Send them away. Like, tell them to go. It's getting late. It's going to get dark. And they're hungry. We're hungry. And we got to get some sleep. And they need to find some sleep, right? That's what they say. Send the crowds away to a nearby village and farms so they can find food for themselves, because it's not our job to find them food. So, help them to find some lodging. That's not our job, Jesus. That's their job. There's nothing to eat in this remote place. And Jesus looks at those disciples and he says, yeah, you know what? You're right. It's not our job. Yeah, so we'll send them away. No, that's not what he does. Look at verse number 13. But Jesus said, you feed them. Remember what we said? It's not someone else's problem. It's mine. This is the very idea that Jesus is trying to help the disciples to see. Quit saying it's somebody else's problem. Somebody else will take care of it. No, it is our problem. It is your problem. Back in the text, it says, you feed them. And the disciples are like, but we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And we stole that from some little boy. And so, you know, this is all we've got. And then he's like, or Jesus, are you expecting us to go and buy enough food from Stop and Shop or Whole Foods or, you know, where? And Jesus knew we didn't have that kind of cash. They didn't have that kind of cash to go buy the food. There was no place like that. But Jesus looks at him and says, no, you got to feed them. So what does Jesus do next? Well, I want us to think about this first. Jesus only asks from you what you have. Nothing more, nothing less. He only asks from you what you have. Jesus took the loaves. Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He took what they had. He took what they brought to him. And then he looked up to heaven, and then he just blessed it. And he prayed a prayer over that. And the disciples are seeing this. They're watching this. They're saying, Jesus told us just to bring what we have. All we have is some fish and some bread. Somehow he thinks he's going to feed all these people. But let's bring it to him. And then he prays this prayer. And in this prayer, then he starts breaking the loaves. He starts breaking it into pieces. And every disciple gets their basket filled. And Jesus fills their basket and says, hey, go, you know, get them in groups of 50, 100. Go start passing around the bread. Pass your basket around. And then they do that. And what happens? Breaking the bread, Jesus is breaking the bread into pieces. And Jesus kept giving the bread and the fish to the disciples. So do you got the picture? They would go out. They would serve that group of 50. They would come back and to Jesus. the source. Jesus would fill them up, and then they would go back out and they would serve some more, and then they would come back to the source, and Jesus would fill their basket up, and then they would go back out and serve. They just kept coming to Jesus, and what Jesus would give them is what they gave out. As a Christ follower, that's all that Jesus asks from you. It's just to give what he gives to you. He's the source. Keep on going back to Jesus, and he'll give you enough for you to go out and to share with those around you. And look what happens. It says in verse 17, they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples all went home with their own basket. They all went home with their own basket. You always get more out of serving others. You always get more out of showing up with whatever Jesus gives you for you to give to somebody else. So there's somebody that's a part of our church family. And a few months ago, they noticed a car in distress as they pulled in from the grocery store shopping with their wife, a better husband than me, huh? And they show up. And they see the car in distress, and the guy thinks in his mind, I don't really want to help. I got to help, you know, my wife carry the groceries in, and let me. So he's doing that, and then he looks out the window and he sees the car still sitting out there, and he can tell this woman is being a little bit animated, and so she's, you know, there's something going on. So finally, he hears that whisper, "You need to go give her a You Matter card." So he does. He walks out there. He's like, "Hey, you know, can I help you? What's going on? I don't know. I don't know if I'm out of gas. I think I'm out of gas." And the guy's like, "Well, I've got some gas in my shed." He goes back, gets some gas, brought what he had, went to go put gas in the car. Well, it was a car that she was thinking about buying, and the gas, the way to release the gas opener, they couldn't open it. She didn't know how to open it, and there was no lever there, whatever. And then there was something else going on with the car. So after talking it through, they just decided, you know what, we just need to call AAA. So they call AAA, and as they're waiting, that guy gets into a conversation with the lady and understands there's something else that's going on in her life. And as he engages her, he hands her, "Hey, I just want you to know that you matter to God, that you matter to our church, and that you matter to me." And this woman was very moved, very much so, to where it led to a conversation that led them deeper to what really was happening. And then this guy felt led to just pray over it, ask permission. "Can I just pray for you?" And the woman, yes, please. She received that prayer, was moved emotionally. Well, the guy goes away and doesn't think a thing about it. But then we heard that she finds our church online. She starts watching online. She starts sharing with the host that's online, and they get into this conversation, and then they must exchange numbers, and they start talking, and then our host, our online host, understands that they need a Bible, so our online host sets up a time for them to come, get a Bible, and then meet up with her and be able to serve her in that way. You see, when you serve others, there's always something else. There's always something more in that. There's something about that. And we were able, and I don't know if she's still watching online or not, but we were able to pray for her as a team because she would show up on the online chat and send in a prayer. And we are just thankful because somebody was willing to discern, should I go take the time, see if I can help that person whose car was in front of their house? It's always, you always get back more than you could ever think. So when you, and that's why we're saying, when you give what you have, you'll walk away with more than you showed up with. The question is, will you bring what you have to those around you? Will you bring what you have to those around you. You say, well, what do you have? What do I have? I'm talking to the Christ followers in the room. If you're a Christ follower, then what you have is hope. You have a hope. And Peter, the guy who witnessed this, called it a living hope. And that's what he did in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Do you see that Peter calls it a living hope? This is no ordinary hope. This is a living hope that comes to live inside of you. We all, if you're a Christ follower, we have a living hope inside of us. He goes on to say in verse number 21 of the same chapter. So Peter, again, Peter's continuing. He says, through Christ, you have come to trust in God and you have placed your faith and hope in God because He raised Christ from the dead and gave Him great glory. So notice that you have placed your faith and your hope in God. Why? Because of the resurrection. Remember a few months ago, we did that whole series on chasing hope driven by faith. And here, Peter calls that out. He's like, it's the faith that you have placed in the person of Jesus that gives you a confident hope. Not a wishful, oh, I hope so, but that confident hope in who He is because of the resurrection. Because Jesus had the power over death. Because of that, because Jesus conquered death, that's a confident hope that He puts inside of you and He puts inside of me. And Peter calls it a living hope. Paul said this about this hope in Romans 15:13. He says, I pray. So he's praying this prayer over the Romans. He says, I pray to God, the source of hope. Now stop and think about that. Paul is saying that God is the source of our hope and that here's his prayer that will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. That He will fill you with joy and peace. No matter you had the worst week, you can still walk away at the end of the week with joy and peace. Why? Because of the source of hope, because of God. And then notice Paul doesn't stop there. He says, then you will overflow with a confident hope with the power or through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not anything that you can. This isn't the kind of hope that you can muster up. This isn't the kind of hope that we can gather everybody and say, hey, clap your hands on this song and beat your foot and you'll be all woohoo, right? No, it's not. It's a much deeper hope. It's a confident hope that lies within that when you get that diagnosis, that when the relationships blows up, that when the finances get turned upside down, that you can still have a confident hope that gives you a joy and a peace that you cannot explain. That's the living hope, and that's what Jesus does inside of us. This is what Jesus wants. God wants us to live as people of hope like that. And as we continue to pursue this vision that we have here at our church, this God-given vision that God has given us, calling all people to love God, to follow Jesus and serve others. That's our mission. But our vision is to radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time. And that's what we're even in COVID, we still stayed on mission because you stayed on mission and you continued to live as a person of hope. Many of you did. And because of that, we were able to launch that microsite down in South County with, started out with 8 adults and now they have like 20 adults that are meeting down there. We moved into rented space so that we can fit 50 people. We're looking to grow to 50 by the fall. That's what we're praying and asking God to do. In the fall, we're asking God, will you show us where to show up in the Lincoln and Cumberland area of Rhode Island? Because we want to launch another microsite up in Lincoln and Cumberland area. Ask why? So that we can show up in these different communities as people of hope. And as we do that, And it's actually for that very reason, to, in order for us to accomplish our vision, we can't continue to show up in Westerly, in Charlestown, as Cranston Christian Fellowship, because it just doesn't make sense to be Cranston Christian Fellowship and you are in Westerly or you're in Charlestown. And when in the fall, it just won't make sense. It doesn't make logically. It just doesn't make sense to show up in Cumberland and Lincoln as Cranston Christian Fellowship. So we've got to have a new name, a new banner. And I know this isn't new to you. A year ago in June, we talked about this. I told you I invited you in to pray and I said, this is the direction we're headed. As our heart is to be one church in multiple locations across our state. But we've got a short video for you that gives us the history of our name of Cranston Christian Fellowship. We have a rich heritage. We really do. 46 years as Cranston Christian Fellowship. And in there, we have invited our founding pastor, Pastor Dave, to actually explain where Cranston Christian Fellowship and that name got its origin. Where did that come from? How? And in this video, you'll see he explains that. And then you'll see stories from other people sharing their story of how Cranston Christian Fellowship was able to bring them hope. And so, I just want you to listen in for the next few minutes.
So, hi, my name is David Guduri, and I was involved when CCF, the Cranston Christian Fellowship, first started, was pastor there for 42 years. Well, our church started really as kind of a dream. Here we were worshiping in North Kingstown, where this church is right here. The church had a vision to reproduce, to take the gospel message beyond just where we were here. And, well, it's kind of funny. When we first began, we were meeting, as I said, just a part of the month.
And it was just a cafeteria, so chairs needed to be set up. The platform had to be set up.
And it was very small. It was only like 60 people setting things up and everything. But it was also very, like, close because, you know, it didn't matter with the generations. Everybody talked to everybody, like, you know, and prayed together and encouraged each other. It was a very special bond.
Early on in the church's life, it was a lot of testimony time and people telling their stories of faith in their lives and hearing what God did for them and the stories that they had to tell certainly helped me to understand what God does in our lives and being able to trust Him.
I mean, it was amazing just to see so many people coming in and joining in, not only with the Lord, but with the church, and being very just moved themselves, you know, to be a part of something like that.
And we weren't really a church yet, so like, okay, so what are we going to call this? Well, we're not a church, so I guess we'll just call it a fellowship. And we're meeting in Cranston, so I guess it would be Cranston, and I suppose we should put the word Christian in there. So our leadership group, with not really a whole lot of thought, just said, let's call it the Cranston Christian Fellowship, and we went with it, and that kind of became, it became what we were called.
I started coming to CCF probably 5 or 6 years ago now. I have to say that my group is my family. My group is my sounding board when I'm not hearing from God. You know, I can be honest with them and they can say, Sharina, remember. So the community to me is everything. It just brings me joy.
We moved to Rhode Island in year 2000. And when we moved to the state, I had a job and that was it. And so it took us about 6 to 9 months to finally settle on CCF. But we were super excited about being there and really invested in it.
So when I was diagnosed with cancer, our small group and the community of the church just was able to provide meals for us. They would give us gas money because Andrew was driving me to Boston every day during the radiation treatments. It was a long 5 weeks. So when I think about that question of how CCF is like a family to us, growing up at the church that I was in, we sang a song, "I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God," and that is how I feel about CCF. I feel like I'm a part of the family of God at CCF.
My name is Kathy Tancrell, and I'm the principal here at Hopkins Hill. What was really nice about this particular partnership is that I felt that our missions dovetailed quite nicely because we try to promote with our students service, kindness, doing good deeds, and that fit in very well with what Justin explained to me the mission was with CCF. So it was just a no-brainer.
So I love the mission of CCF because I know that the mission of CCF is not to just get more people to come to CCF and to grow our building or to grow multiple buildings throughout the state, but it's to have people come and have their lives changed and that they would just draw closer to God and know Him.
So my relationship started with CCF back in September 2016. I had initially opened Magnolia Pediatrics, which is a pro bono medical practice for children with complex medical needs. You know, not every child will live a full life, but what I've been given with CCF continues to blossom that hope and continues to make that hope even stronger. And I think if we don't have hope, there's really, what is there? And at the end of the day, my families need that.
And for me to know, like, to love God and to follow Jesus and serving others, like, that's the main focus of CCF, to know that that's what it's all about and to know that it's based on Scripture and to know that every decision that's made is with that in mind just makes me excited to be a part of something as big as that. And to think about Rhode Island and to think about the potential that there is for the spiritual climate to change, that is what it's all about. And that's why I've stuck around, because I believe in that mission wholeheartedly.
So 4 years ago, we made the decision that we wanted to be one church in multiple locations. So we wanted to go throughout the entire state of Rhode Island. And with that, it's one vision, one church that will show up in multiple locations throughout our state, because our vision is to radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time.
Well, you know, Jesus gave all of his disciples those last words, and he said, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them. And basically what he was doing was giving the church its marching orders. Those have been always right at the heart of what we've done. In my mind, a church name should really accomplish that. It should serve their vision and help people who aren't part of the church understand, here's something that's for you. Here's something that could touch your life, could make a difference in your life. And as long as it does that, to me, it serves the purpose.
So my heart breaks for the people who feel that they have no hope. My heart breaks for the people who really don't live with any sort of anticipation.
And, you know, through my middle school and high school years, I really kind of sensed a development of, this is serious, this is how, you know, this is how my friends are going to get saved and what I should be doing.
My heart breaks for the people who maybe aren't dreaming of what life can be anymore. And because of that, that's why I'm so thankful to be part of a church where people can experience that hope.
You just heard these stories, and they can't be contained to just Cranston. Our vision is to radically change the spiritual climate of Rhode Island, one person, one community at a time. We are called to be people of hope, filled with hope, bringing a message of hope, the hope of the gospel. It's for this reason we cannot be Cranston Christian Fellowship any longer. It just doesn't make sense. We need to go under the banner of Hope Church. So we're called to be a people of hope that's filled with hope, sharing a message of hope. And that's how we ended up in settling on this idea of Hope Church. You know, after we shared that with our church as a whole in last June, over the summer, the elders and staff continued to pray. We would seek God. God, what's this change for our church? Where are we going to land on this? We gathered in September for a Friday and a Saturday for a work day. And on that work day, we prayed through. We thought we were going to have a name by the end of that day. But you know what? We just didn't feel like God had given us that approval to say yes. So we went back and prayed for another month. And it wasn't until October that when we met again that we finally settled it. And we finally, you know what? We do feel. And so I can confidently say that we really do feel led by God to be able to say that we, moving forward, will be known as Hope Church. And here's why. Hope Church is visionary. It points to the living hope that every Christ follower should have inside of them. It's not stagnant. It should be something that is living and that is expressed, which leads us to our second point of it's missional. It reminds us to live as a person of hope. It reminds us. In fact, this will help you. If you could just, at the end of your day, when you go to bed, if you could just reflect and ask the question, did I live as a person of hope today? It will be a great course corrector for you. I hope, it's my prayer, that we all will start asking that question, not just at the end of the day, but throughout our day, and watch and see if it doesn't correct the course of what you are about ready to do or about ready to react. And not only is it call us to live missional, it's also specific to Rhode Island. As you know, it shows up on the seal of Rhode Island, the word hope. And on our flag, that anchor and the word hope. Do you know this? That historians, not biblical commentators, but historians think that this is the reason why that hope showed up on our Rhode Island flag, or on the seal first and then the flag when it did, was because of this very verse in Hebrews chapter 6. Historians say this, and they say that we are the only state in the U.S. that has that a biblical reference on our seal or flag out of all 50 states. We're the only one. And here's this verse in Hebrews chapter 6 in part of verse 18. Therefore, we who have fled to Him, meaning God, for refuge, can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Those who helped found Rhode Island and wanted to make sure that that this idea of hope would continue, that they put it on the seal and on the flag. Here we are, so many years later, reflecting on that, specific to Rhode Island, helping us as a church to remember our vision, to remember to call us to live in a very visional way. So here's what we've got for you. We got some men, it looks like, I think it's some men, going to be passing out these envelopes. So it says, will you take the envelope that is being passed out and look for three people this week to share hope with? So here's what the envelope is. You've got this envelope, and you came to Cranston Christian Fellowship. On the envelope, it's our church stationery of Cranston Christian Fellowship. But on the inside of the envelope, you have our new You Matter cards, and there's three in there, and it has our new branding of Hope Church on there. And what we're asking you to do is this week, to live as a person of hope, to live and ask God to who could you cross paths with, what, quote, neighbor, right? A neighbor is anyone that we cross paths with. Who could you cross paths with this week that you could give, three people that you could give this You Matter card to? And watch how this works. This is so easy. I am setting this up so easy for you. Watch this. You cross paths with that person, right? And you would say, hey, I just want you to know that you matter to God, that you matter to our church, and that you matter to me. And in fact, we just went through this whole renaming of our church, and we are calling our church now Hope Church. And it's because of the hope that Jesus gives us. And watch and see where the conversation goes from there. You could enter into so many conversations. It'd be so easy for you to go up to people, your friends, that people that you do know. Hey, I just want to tell you about our church, that we switched our name to Hope Church. And the reason why we did that is because we're being one church in multiple locations throughout our state. But we called it Hope because of the living hope that Jesus gives us. And the day that happened for me was, and then you walk in and you share your story of hope. How much easier can it get? It doesn't get any easier than that. You see what we're doing? We're setting you up to be able to share the hope, the living hope that you have with Jesus. So we're challenging you to do that. Will you do that this week? And look and see. And watch what happens. Watch how you would react even differently. Because now you're being intentional about being a person of hope. And the way that you would respond to somebody, would it be with as a person of hope? And the way that you would show up to the office, do you show up with hope? The way that you enter into a conversation that's actually taking place, do you enter into it as a person of hope? There's so many ways that this will help course correct our life. And that's our prayer. So I want you to take out your connection cards and look at your connection card and look at the very first next step. It says, pray I will be a neighbor filled with hope, living with a message of hope, and understanding it's my responsibility to share this hope. There's a sense of urgency that every Christ follower should have and should live with. And that's why every time you go out, you should be like, God, is that the person? Do you want me to share hope with them? Should I be? You know, that's why you should do that. Why? For two reasons. One, every person's going to die one day. Every person will die one day, or Jesus will come back. One of the two things are going to happen. And they need to make sure they have hope before they die or before Jesus comes back. Because then it'll be too late. So, will you do this? We want to pray for you by name. Will you give us your name? And here's how you can give us your name, right on the connection card. Or you can text the word pray to our texting number, 401-496-9710. Just pull your phone out, text that word pray, and you're going to get immediate response. Click on the link, and then when you click on that link, that's where you give us your name. And we will pray for you this week as our team meets to pray over this. The other next step says this: for the next 7 days before I go to sleep, I'll ask myself, did I live as a person of hope today? And because I had a little bit of a heads up on this more than you did, that I started doing this already. And let me tell you, it does help. It really does. Just yesterday, because I knew I would be going to bed that night asking myself, Rick, did you live as a person of hope today? I'm in line for customer service, and I'm not kidding you. There's this line there. One cash register, person is like working like crazy. The other one, I'm not joking, has their phone on the counter and doing swipe, 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 left, right, 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 swipe, swipe, swipe. And I'm standing there like, hello, hello. Her register doesn't say close. No, right? And inside, I'm wanting to say something. I'm wanting to say, hello. So I want to do something. But then I thought, ooh, would that be living as a person of hope? Would you be able to answer the question in a positive way when you go to bed tonight, Rick, that you lived as a person of hope? I'm telling you, this will help us to live on mission. So will you do that? We want to pray that you will for the next 7 days, and that you would get in a routine that even throughout your day, you would just say, oh, am I living as a person of hope right now? The last next step says, I don't have hope. You've been hearing me talk about hope. We sang about the hope. A hope awakens in us. We sang about that in the very beginning. But you don't have that kind of hope because you've never invited Jesus into your life. That's your next step. You need to trust Jesus. And how you do that, indicate it on the connection card and make sure that your name and phone number is on the connection card. Drop it in the offering boxes on your way out and we will get in contact with you. If you text us the word trust today, 401-496-9710, if you just text us that word trust and then click on the link and give us your name, we will call you today. We will call you today because this matters. We want to make sure that you have the opportunity to have living hope within you, that God could bring that to you today. And as our elders gathered and prayed this past Thursday night, they were praying that today would be the day for somebody to give their life to Jesus. And what a better way to come in as Cranston Christian Fellowship, but to leave as Hope Church and for you to leave with living hope. We want to pray that that would be true in you. And so Jesus, only you can transform a heart. Only you can open the eyes to help people to understand what it means to have living hope. And that's why we're praying to you. Bring that kind of insight to that person that needs it. Give them that kind of understanding where they would reach out and say, I need that kind of hope. Father, for the Christ follower that's here, Jesus, what we're asking for you is to renew their hope. All that living hope has seemed to drain out of them. It's still there, but they're not living as a person of hope. And we're praying for them. We encourage them this morning. Jesus, will you show them who you are? Father, we need you. We need more of you in our life. And you are our source. And just as the disciples would continue to come back to you to have their basket filled, Jesus, we come back to you to have our life filled with hope because you're the source of hope. Thank you for being that kind of God. We pray this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.